You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Giannis. Should the Greek be freaked that his mean mug led to Milwaukee's big miss? We'll start there. Then Steph saving his best for last as the Warriors saying, save me, San Francisco. Are they now the team to beat for the NBA title? And then the stars are out this morning. Which ones can't our crew wait to see go head-to-head? We've got big scheduling news just hot off the presses. And we'll get to that more as we get rolling here. It's a Tuesday, and we're getting up with you. JJ's ready to go. Diana's here off her first Mother's Day.
Yes, still celebrating. Every day's Mother's Day greeting.
That's correct. Timmy Legs is here as well. Dominique Foxworth gets up with us early this morning. He's ready. The Booger Man will be along as well. But we start in Milwaukee last night. And gentlemen, we had a fascinating duel between those two big men. It's Giannis versus Horford. Pick it up in the third. Celtics are down four. Marcus Smart turning it over. Giannis with a full head of steam. Now he's going to throw it down on Horford. He had 34 and 18, but Horford's legs did not like that stare.
No, and Al pretty much keeps his mouth shut, so he didn't take well to that. Somebody giving him a little bit after dunking the ball.
You know what? The best revenge is living well, and JJ, Horford lived well.
This might be the most emotion that I've ever seen out of Al Horford, and this was a theme all game. The pick and pop with Al Horford hurt the Milwaukee Bucks. They're able to turn the corner on that closeout.
Shortly thereafter, it's Horford on the break. He can do it inside. He can do it outside. He had 30 points, 11 of 14 shooting. Celtics up three, just over 5 minutes to go. Bucks are down one. Keep an eye on Marcus Smart and Giannis. They would get tangled up late. The play goes down the other way. They never make it there.
I've never seen a guy get put into a figure four before in an NBA playoff game, but that's exactly what Marcus Smart did to Giannis.
And then he's trying to help him up. Giannis didn't want anything to do with it. Look, Smart isn't going to help you up. Giannis, I don't want it. We got good old-fashioned dislike, and I'm here for it. A minute later, JJ, Jason Tatum. Such struggles in game three. He was so good.
He was so good. Very aggressive all game. And as good as Al Horford was in the fourth quarter, it was Tatum that closed this game out for the Celtics.
The two would combine for 28 points in that fourth. Tatum finished with 30. Celtics get the road win they desperately need. They even the series with an 8-point victory. We're all tied at two. And then here's Horford after the game on the bad blood.
I don't really know what he said to me, but the way he was looking at me and the way that he was going about it really didn't sit well with me. And at that point, I think just something switched with me in the game.
At the end of the day, like, I know what the deal is. The team knows what the deal is. We got to go to Boston and try to win a game. Now, no matter what I feel, it doesn't really matter. Emotions are for movies, you know, not for basketball.
All right, so he's still got a smile on his face, but the Bucks let home court advantage get away. And let's go back to that moment between those two bigs. Boston outscoring Milwaukee by 14 after Giannis got that tee. After the dunk, Horford outscored Giannis, including returning the favor with that dunk of his own. We saw them. How about that emotional turn there? Clearly, a game of this magnitude, you probably don't need anything to make you want to
right.
play hard. But it certainly seemed to turn the tide at least a little last night.
Well, look, I don't know that that particular play or that technical foul had any bearing on the rest of the game. But here's what I do think happened. Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think, got gassed. If you look at him the last 5 minutes of the game, JJ, I don't know if I've ever seen him holding his shorts that much, bent over. There was a couple possessions. He came up the floor, ran to the corner, and put his hands on his shorts and let Jrue Holiday kind of go. And look, you can't blame him because of the amount of physical contact he's playing through. Look at the guys that are in front of him, whether it's Grant Williams or Horford. You know, you've got Jaylen Brown sometimes, and then you've always got Marcus Smart hovering and lurking, ready to throw a second body in front of him. So Giannis, to his credit, he's so physically dominant. He's still doing his thing statistically. But the toll that it can take on a game like this with this much emotion and knowing what's at stake, because really Milwaukee can basically, you know, put a chokehold on this series if they win that game. And Giannis is feeling that. But playing through that much contact at some point gasses even a guy like him, and I think he ran out of steam.
Yeah, and I think this is a great example of why they miss Chris Middleton so much in this series. So Giannis has to carry the load offensively going against this Boston Celtics defense, and Drew Holiday just frankly hasn't been very good in this series. He's shooting 23 times a game and shooting 33% from the field. He's really struggled at times, and they're not getting any real offensive output from anyone else. It's really Middleton being out of this lineup that is gassing Giannis. And, of course, the Celtics' great defense.
Giannis, 41 minutes, 34 points, 18 rebounds. So, to your point, he puts up the numbers, but it is starting to get to him. I agree that the loss of Middleton is starting to show itself. And then the Celtics, look, they let Game 3 get away. The truth is, since Game 1, the Celtics have been the better team in this series. So, we sit here tied at 2-2. Boston now in a best of three with home court advantage. You picked the Bucks in 6 before this series began. Do you still feel that way?
Look, obviously that can still happen, but if you look at it right now, Celtics have 2 out of 3 at home. Bottom line is this, Milwaukee has to win another game in Boston. Boston doesn't have to win a road game. Just hold home court, you're going to win this series. So now the pressure clearly shifts to the Milwaukee Bucks to have to go up in a very hostile environment and win a game. And look, Jason Tatum, give him a lot of credit, because you look at the way he played in Game 3 and you go, okay, look, I've been talking about him a lot, you know, pulling that seat up to the table. Are you on that level? He outplayed Kevin Durant. That was a huge statement for him. I think the biggest defining series of his career. And now who do you get right after that? You get Giannis, and he struggled in Game 3. Give him credit because he bounced back. So now as I look, this series shifting, he's got his rhythm back. Al Horford has been unbelievable. This might be the best offensively I've ever seen Al Horford play in his entire career. So you've got that going for you. And still no Middleton, which is a huge answer, because those are possession-saving mid-range jumpers that he makes, and they don't have it. So look, I think right now the edge has to go to Boston. Can Milwaukee go win a game and close it out in 6? Of course they can, and I still think Giannis is going to get it done. So I'm sticking with the Bucks to win the series.
Oh, good for you. I thought you were going to change your mind.
I don't change now. I got to ride that horse now.
I reserve the right to change my mind generally within one block of the show. So I would have no issue if you wanted to do it.
I think back to those last few games of the regular season, those last few days of the regular season, when a bunch of teams, Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics, were trying to figure out their seedings 2 through 4. And teams like the Bucks avoided that potential first-round matchup with the Brooklyn Nets, who would have had the 7 seed. And the Celtics wanted all the smoke. They wanted all the smoke. They took out the Nets, and now they have home court in a 2-2 series. I like the Celtics in this series.
Yeah, it's such a good point, because they sweep them. And I think that actually gives them – you do something like that, you get the team that everybody didn't want to see, and you just pound them down like that.
Didn't avoid them.
It actually
didn't avoid
them.
They played for the 2 seed.
Yeah, and so here they sit. And right now they look like they're making quite the run. And another moment on Tatum here, because he couldn't play worse than he played on Saturday. And, of course, he went out last night and had the huge night. So, to me, just watching the game, and I would defer completely to your expertise. The Bucks have the best player, but the Celtics have the better team. And in the absence of Chris Middleton, I think this is a major uphill climb at this point, even for Giannis, who at this point I acknowledge is the best player in the world.
My bet in this series was my chips were going on the Giannis Antetokounmpo number, right? 34. That's what I would play if I was on the roulette table. And that's really what my pick came down to. I just think at the end of the day, he's going to find enough ways to impact the game, whether it be as a scorer, whether it be as a rebounder or a defender. Now, there's one concern I do have. He looks like he's got a little bit of the yips back at the foul line, which he had broken through in the finals last year, and even his mid-range last year. The finesse part of the game was there. Right now, I'm a little bit worried about that. Can he make big free throws in a big moment if he has to? And I think, believe me, Ime Udoka is paying attention to that too.
Yeah. Now, on the Tatum point, this is what great players do. They bounce back. There was a great stat I saw yesterday. Jason Tatum has shot under 30% 3 times in 2022. On those bounce back games, he averages over 30 a game and shoots 60% from the field. Now, obviously, he didn't shoot 60% in this game, but the aggression was there. When you're a great player, you have that confidence that the next game, every shot's going in.
No one's going to shoot 60% against that Milwaukee defense. Celtics get a win they desperately need. Then we work our way to San Francisco, where the Grizzlies, without their best player, their superstar, Ja Morant, trying to get back in it. Nice moment before the game. Ja and Jordan Poole dapping up after all the breaking of the code nonsense of the last few days. Oh, by the way, Mike Brown coaching because Steve Kerr's in health and safety protocols. On we go to the fourth quarter. Warriors down 8, but Steph Curry, Tim, would lead the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, when was someone going to start making shots? Steph Curry picked the opportune time. He got hot in the fourth quarter and carried them offensively.
And he's doing it inside, and most importantly, JJ, doing it from the outside.
That's a great little set play they run for him. Little inverted down screen. Draymond Green, of course, knows where Steph Curry is all the time. And this shot right here, this is tough, and it probably should have been an and one over Dylan Brooks.
Steph had 18 in the fourth quarter. That one tied it at 90. Now here's Dylan Brooks coming up short on the three. Now we're going the other way. And watch Steph Curry going to get a full head of steam and take it strong. He's going to draw the foul. This is with the Warriors down by 1. Fans are nervous. Never fear. Steph is here. He knocks them both down. He would score 32. Warriors a 1-point lead. Grizzlies looking to respond. Desmond Bane called for the push. Is this a good call, Legs?
Yeah, because of the timing of it. Steph Curry just about to leave his feet. Even the slightest nudge can send you flying. It's a good call. And Bane didn't complain. He knew it.
And then on the other end, that's Draymond Green with the big block. He says, I should have been the defensive player of the year. They hold on to win it. Hey, Draymond, how about Steph in the fourth?
Steph Curry showed why he is Steph Curry for all the disrespect out there. He showed why he's Steph Curry. Guys played big basketball down the stretch, winning basketball. And we made plays on both ends to take the game.
All right, I'll just say it so you don't have to. What disrespect is he talking about? Everyone in the world loves Steph Curry. He's the most beloved and respected player in the entire league. But I digress. He had 18 points in the fourth quarter, his second most in any fourth quarter of his postseason career. He outscored the Grizzlies by himself in the final 8 minutes of the game, including a 10-8 margin in clutch time. JJ, let's talk about Steph Curry in that fourth quarter. And Les, can you illuminate me? Has there been some underground Steph disrespect that I've missed here?
I literally looked at Legs Steph here when Draymond said that. I go, what disrespect?
Yeah, it's just self-motivation. Wherever you got to find it, I guess.
You got to find the motivation somewhere. I actually want to go back earlier in the fourth.
Yeah.
Grizzlies are up 12, 76-64. And they were able to hang around the game. Kevon Looney gets a dunk. Otto Porter hits back-to-back threes. And then Andrew Wiggins hits a floater. And then right after that, Steph goes nuts and brings them all the way back. But that 2 to 3 minute stretch there where they're able to generate offense from other people besides Steph Curry, it was huge in keeping them in the game.
And on the other end, look, I could go and watch film of every game played this season and every postseason game included. I would have a hard time finding a worse shot then Dylan Brooks step back three up 1 off 1 pass beginning of the shot clock. And it almost felt to me like that's a guy trying so hard to make up for some of the things that have happened earlier in his series. Not just the foul on Peyton when he misses the game and gets suspended, but also the way he's played. And this is a guy that was critical to them in the regular season. Critical to him last year. And I just felt like he was trying to have his imprint on this game. You're up 1, 50 seconds to go, 1 pass. You take a step back 25-foot jump shot when you're not feeling it at all. To me, that possession, and then they turn the ball over, I think, on the subsequent one or the one before it, those possessions there showed a lack of maturity. And look, you're missing your guy to close the game. I get it. But their immaturity, I think, offensively contributed to the Warriors able to close it out.
Anyone who didn't follow their season closely, they won their games without Ja all year long. So if you thought to yourself, well, they have no chance without him, they had a chance. And they're obviously right there with a chance to win it in the fourth quarter. I want to put Biana, let's put the odds up there now, because Caesars Sportsbook now lists the Warriors as the favorites to win the NBA championship. And you think about the Suns now in this dog fight with Dallas, where the Mavericks have the best player on the floor and Chris Paul is struggling to a degree, and they look like they may be headed to 7 and the Warriors may be ready to wrap this thing up as of this moment, JJ. And you're not a gambling man, but if you were and you had to bet an amount of money that mattered to you on one team to win the championship, would it be Golden State?
Let me just go check my books to see what I have right now. No, it wouldn't.
It would not be Golden State.
It would not be.
It would be.
I have felt like we were headed for the whole season a Suns-Bucks rematch.
Right.
Obviously, with Middleton out, that changes things. I still think Suns-Warriors potentially in that conference final, Suns can get by them. But I'm looking at this Celtics-Bucks series and looking at these two heavyweights go at each other. And it feels a lot like whoever comes out of the series has a really good chance to win the NBA championship.
JJ's on Boston. I can feel it. Yeah. JJ's on the Celtics. How about you?
Whoever wins that series will be in the NBA finals, but I'm still sticking with Golden State. I just look at them, and I look at last night. Look, they won that game. the way that they played offensively, they still found a way to win that game. And the one thing I want to know is what happened to Jordan Poole last night. And he played a little bit better in the fourth quarter. I felt he was tentative, and I literally was texting a Warriors fan and said, did somebody tell Jordan Poole he was shooting too much? Because he was looking all around all the time offensively, like, no, just go be you. That's one of the reasons I'm picking him to win it. They have now had the emergence of another elite-level scorer. And he didn't look that way last night. When he plays with that level of confidence, that's what gives me confidence that they can win the whole thing.
And we should mention, despite all of the disrespects, they still have Steph Curry, who's a good player. And I mean, I know everyone thinks that he's – I don't even know what
Did
everyone
Did you say
thinks.
Something about Steph Curry at some point?
It wasn't okay. me. Right. I mean, okay. for once, for a change, it wasn't me. Anyway, all right, we have much more on this as we go. We got to get to tonight's games as well with these two here. What changed so dramatically for James Harden and the Sixers is the Heat, now on the Heat, as they head back to South Florida. We'll talk about it. Plus, Tom Brady back for another crack at a Super Bowl. Is he going to get bounced in his own division? We've got that. Plus, late scheduling news as we roll on. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Get Up is brought to you by Jack Daniels. As far as we know, today only happens once. Make it count. All right, the football crew is here, and it's NFL schedule release week. So let's go through a matchup we can't wait to see. Diana, you're first.
Starting with the Chargers and Broncos. This is the one I can't wait to look forward to, or at least I am looking forward to. The Broncos defense, this new-look Russell Wilson offense with this Denver Broncos team, and, of course, the Chargers with the addition of Khalil Mack and, of course, Justin Herbert. They're sort of my sneaky, scary, under-the-radar Super Bowl contenders as well, so I can't wait to see this one.
A lot of people high on the Chargers. I like it. Dominique, what's a matchup you're looking for?
Ravens-Bills. I think after the Bills beat the Ravens in the playoffs a couple years ago, they kind of supplanted the Ravens as one of the Super Bowl contenders in the AFC. And with all the injuries that the Ravens had last year, it was a disappointing season. So I think Lamar and versus Josh Allen from the 2018 draft, that matchup, those two great quarterbacks going at it, is a big game. I can't wait to see.
All right, put a pin in that one. I want to come back to Lamar. But Booger, give me a matchup you're looking for.
Yeah, Greeny, for me, it's going to be Bills-Rams. I think the Bills are the most talented roster in the NFL. I think Josh Allen is going to win the MVP this year, going against the reigning, defending Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams, seeing if they can repeat. And that bad man, Aaron Donald, I can't wait to see this matchup, Greeny.
Yeah, that could easily be a Super Bowl preview. Yep. But speaking of, we mentioned the Rams and we mentioned the Broncos. Well, Shefty tweeted just a short time ago as some of the scheduling news is sort of trickling out. An early Christmas present, Broncos-Rams Christmas Day. It's a late afternoon matchup on CBS and Nickelodeon, which begs the question.
Yeah.
In a world in which teams never win back-to-back, it's been a generation since it's happened, and Russell Wilson goes to Denver with the eyes of the world on him, I'm going to ask which of these two teams do you think has the better chance to win the Super Bowl this year, Diana? Broncos or Rams, go.
I love that I kicked the show off going, I'm all in on this Broncos team, Russell Wilson, the new look offense, yet I'm going all in on the Rams. They've got the best defensive player in the game in Aaron Donald, who just said recently on a podcast, he's getting better. He's getting more explosive, faster. What the heck does that look like if he's saying that, right? Then, of course, you've got Cooper Kupp, and they added Allen Robinson. Remember, when Allen Robinson was playing well in Chicago before it got a little weird last season, he was one of the best receivers in the league. So if he can get back to that level of playing. And just the fact that they've been there, they've got a great leader and head coach, Sean McVay, there. So I think there's a better chance of this Rams team. And they also added Bobby Wagner, by the way. So I think their roster top to bottom just looks better than the Denver Broncos right now.
I'm assuming everyone is going to say Rams in this matchup, which just made me think of this question. Dominique, because you were the one sort of, when we were figuring out Aaron Rodgers' next location, you kept saying Denver. If Rodgers was right now the quarterback of the Broncos instead of Russell Wilson, would the answer change?
No, not for me. I think Aaron Rodgers is great, but I think as Diana did a great job laying out how impressive the roster is for the Rams, but the competition, that even that division, not even the AFC. The AFC is as loaded as I can ever remember it being as far as Super Bowl contending teams. And then you go in that division and you have three teams in that division, maybe four in that division for the Broncos that could make it to the Super Bowl. So I think it's possible that the Broncos don't even make the playoffs and still have a very good team. So the smart money would go on Los Angeles. It seems like the odds makers at Caesar Sportsbook agree with me.
How about it, Booger? At the Rams, your team in the NFC still, defending Super Bowl champs, remain the NFC favorites?
Yeah, Green, I think you have to put them as a favorite, especially when you talk about the NFC. I like the Broncos. I think the Broncos are going to be better. We're going to find out whether the Broncos were a quarterback away or not. And everyone keeps talking about pressure and who's got the most pressure. And I heard you guys earlier in the week talking about Dak and Aaron Rodgers. I think there's no more pressure on anyone in the NFL than the pressure that's on Russell Wilson, because Russell has to prove that he can get it done. Everyone talks about all the weapons in Denver. And yeah, we already know the defense is good. You got Judy, Cortland Sutton, and on and on and on. Well, who were they missing? They were missing the quarterback. So Russell Wilson has to perform. And we don't know what that's going to look like, an offense that's going to be Russell Wilson-centric. So, yeah, the Rams would have to be the favorite right now until I see Russell do it and Russell be the reason that the Broncos win and not him being a complimentary piece.
Yeah, I think the competition is a good point. Every team in the AFC West might be the favorite if they were in the NFC. Meanwhile, I want to show you guys something here. First off, let's show you what Shohei Ohtani did last night. Okay, folks, you need to wake up with Shohei. Angels, Rays, bottom of six. Angels leading at 5-1. Shohei Ohtani at the plate. Shohei Ohtani in the seats. Left center, but he was just getting started. Look where it goes over the wall there, and he's enjoying it with the hat. Very next inning, bases are juiced for Ohtani, and he brings the juicer. Same spot. That's his first career grand slam, at least in the majors it is. Take another look. His eighth career multi-home run game that surpasses Ichiro for the most ever by a Japanese-born major league player. Angels win it by an 11-3 score. But Diana, you're going to enjoy this because Get Your Eyes Checked is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And we're going back to the day before for the Angels. Anthony Rendon, oh, he hit a walk-off single for the Angels. His teammates tried to dump the Gatorade on him. But take a look. He had other ideas. What do you think?
He's too quick. I'm just happy no one got injured. You always see these celebratory injuries. No one got hurt. Look how fast Rendon is there. Can't get him.
It's got a good move. That's why no one ever picks him off first. See, he sees it coming. He's got the cat-like quickness. He's got eyes in the back of his head. He's got his eyes checked. And he's getting out of the way. All right, that's well done.
To the sideline reporter, too. She got right out of the way, too.
All right, coming up, the Celtics take a big punch from Giannis and respond in an even bigger way. Can Boston win another title? We're talking about that in a moment. Plus, the beard is back on the beach. James Harden looking like a completely different player. What has changed? Will it continue tonight in Miami? We're talking about it next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and if you are just joining us, we began with this, the game of the night, the moment maybe of the postseason. Giannis had a typical huge game last night, but in this moment here, the third quarter, with the Bucks up by four, you're going to see Giannis is going to throw one down on Al Horford, and he's going to give him a look, and JJ, clearly, Al Horford did not like it.
He didn't like it at all. Al Horford is a grown man getting ready to turn 36 years old, and from that point on, Al absolutely balled out, and this is a demonstrative move and a demonstrative reaction. The most emotion I've maybe ever seen from Al Horford.
And legs, it looks like it gives him a little left jab on the way down, too.
You know, that's in between that gray area of incidental contact, a little bit of intention there.
So he was great in the fourth quarter, and Jason Tatum was spectacular in the fourth quarter. Tatum and Horford will combine for 28 in the decisive fourth. And this time, instead of falling in heartbreaking fashion in the fourth as they did on Saturday, the Celtics find a way to win and find their way to the top of the leaderboard, at least according to the odds makers. Caesar says Boston is now the favorite to win the East, just behind the Miami. So the two teams that have home court advantage right now in these even up 2-2 series. We're going to take sort of a bigger picture Eastern Conference look, but let's just focus in for a moment again, if we can, on the Celtics. They played a very bad game one. And a point was made here that maybe the Nets actually kind of weakened them. The Celtics were not accustomed to a team that was that long and that was that aggressive defensively. Since then, and I know they lost game three with some crazy things at the end, to me it has looked like the Celtics have just been in the absence of Chris Middleton, they're the better team in the series.
I would agree with that, but let's give the Bucks a lot of credit because we saw in that first round the absence of size and length on the perimeter. Mm-hmm. Seth Curry, Kyrie Irving, Patty Mills, and then you get to the Bucks. Wes Matthews has been terrific defensively. Drew Holiday has been terrific defensively. And that's given Tatum and Brown trouble at times.
And I don't in any way mean this to disrespect the Bucks. To be clear, if you took Jaylen Brown out of this series,
yes,
it would be vastly different. Well, that's what's happened. The second best player on the Bucks is not playing. Sometimes because Giannis is so good and Middleton is not thought of in the same way that some of the other elite stars in the league are, I don't think enough is being made of the fact that the Bucks are doing what they're doing without their second best player.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive because you look at the way that they operate without him. So Giannis is basically going to be 18 feet in, and he's going to be at the paint. He's going to be at the foul line. Drew Holiday is pretty much at the rim or behind the arc. So what about that other area of the floor, 15 to 20 feet? That's so critical because you have a 6'8 guy that can get to any spot, rise up, and make a tough contested shot. And like I said earlier, they're possession-saving type of shots. Late in the clock, you can get to a spot and make a shot. But here's the thing. If you're the Bucks, if you're Mike Budenholzer right now, you're saying, how is I supposed to account for how Al Horford is playing offensively in this series? That's really what it comes down to for him. He thinks, okay, I checked all these boxes. I did a pretty good job and everything. And then I've got this unaccounted for guy that's going off that's just absolutely killing me. And I think there's going to obviously have to be some sort of an adjustment there because I think now Milwaukee could possibly get a road win if Al Horford just has a regular night.
And the stat that was on the screen a moment ago, and I apologize, Bjorn, I was supposed to get to it more quickly, and I freelanced away from it, and that's but our odds makers, I told you Caesars likes the Warriors. Our analytics like the Celtics. They list the Celtics right now as the likeliest team to win the NBA championship, and I felt at the beginning of our program today like you were leaning that way as well.
I'm leaning that way as well. ESPN BPI or whatever it's called.
Yes, the BPI.
They've loved the Celtics for like 2 months. They've loved the Celtics for 2 months,
yes,
to be honest with you. And on the Horford adjustment, look, Milwaukee plays a certain way, and they're going to be in drop coverage, and so you're always closing back out to Al Horford. He killed them last night in pick and pop. So the adjustment to me is at some point, you're going to have to switch Giannis onto the ball handler, and you've got enough size and strength to switch your guards onto Al Horford and make it tough that way. They've got to mix up their coverage with him.
All right, so it's ironic because I have two guys sitting here who are known for making threes, but we're going to do a feature called 2-2 because both Eastern Conference series are right now tied at 2, and one of those in the West as well. So let's go through them. Legs, who has the edge right now? 2-2, Bucks Celtics.
Celtics do because of the home cooking. They've got 2 out of 3 at home, and that's the bottom line. And you're talking about a higher-seeded team, and now they've gotten it to a place where it's a best-of-3 series with 2 on your home floor. I think you'd have to give the advantage to the home team, assuming that they're healthy going into that best-of-3, and they are.
JJ, out West, we saw the Warriors take the 3-1 lead, but Mavericks Suns are tied at 2-2. Who has the edge?
The Suns have the edge. I expect a huge bounce-back game in Game 5 for CP. The other two guys to watch for the Suns are DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges. Both of them had fantastic first rounds. Their output has not matched that in this series. Both those guys are more than capable of stepping up.
All right, and then Legs, back to the East. Huge one tonight. Sixers, Heat, 2-2. Who has the edge?
Well, I'm going to give the edge to Miami for the same reason. They're the number one seed for a reason. You cannot possibly shoot the basketball worse than they have the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And actually on the other end of the floor, 16 for 33, Philly. Consecutive games they do that. So Miami, it really comes down to the arc right now. Defend it better and shoot it better. I mean, their primary guys they count on to make threes were 5 for 29 in the last game. Look, and I know a lot of talk out there about Duncan Robinson. I don't know if Spo goes there or not. The guy was 8 for 9 in game 1 against Atlanta from the 3-point line, and apparently that offended Eric Spoelstra because he hasn't played since. So maybe you turn there, but you cannot continue to have these empty nights from the 3-point line.
He's played 1 minute. They were 7 of 35 from 3 in a winnable game 4. Jimmy G buckets had them right in that game, and Duncan Robinson can't get off the bench. I do find it confounding.
Okay, so I would expect Duncan Robinson to get some minutes going forward in this series, but let's put a little context to this. They were 20-3 with Max Strus in the starting lineup. What else happened during that time period? Victor Oladipo got healthy,
right,
worked his way into the rotation, and he's had some big minutes. They trust Gabe Vincent. Some of it is just a numbers game, unfortunately, for Duncan. But I do think you have to play him. You have to throw him out there, especially because Legs, they're running a matchup zone half the game.
I love this because he's speaking like an attorney for a three-point shooter. Right? And I'd be your co-counsel because we got to defend these guys. They gave him $90 million last summer. $90 million.
Put him on the floor.
And look, you can say what you want. Hey, maybe we're not as good defensively. The bottom line is you just went 7 for 35 from the three-point line and all your role players collectively 5 for 29. I mean, he's sitting over there collecting dust. It'd be interesting to see. Sometimes coaches, though, they don't like when they get that noise.
Right.
It's almost like they dig in deeper. No, like I know what I'm doing. I don't know if Spo has that kind of an ego. So we'll see if he maybe makes that adjustment.
I think he's probably, to me, I think he's the best coach in the entire NBA, and yet I'm telling him what he needs to do, and I hope that he listens. Having said that, it obviously comes clearly down to James Harden at this point, right? If we get the James Harden that we saw in Game 4, and I don't know where that came from because I'd forgotten what it looked like, but then he reminded us all. Do we see that again tonight, JJ?
I don't know if we see it again tonight. I don't know that we need to see it again tonight for the 76ers to win. You think about their team right now. Tyrese Maxey is averaging 22 a game in the playoffs on 50-40-90. Their last two playoff runs, Tobias Harris was their second option. He's now their fourth option.
Right.
James Harden doesn't need to go for 30. He needs to be a facilitator. He needs to get those guys going. The biggest thing in this series, as Tim mentioned, has been the variance in three-point shooting and Philly having Joel on the court.
Yeah, agreed. For me, look, is James Harden going to replicate that? That's going to be tough to do. I mean, the rest of the postseason for him. But here's the one thing I saw in that game. His lift and his separation on his threes was better than I've seen. And you know what that means? The timing on the release of his deep shot was just better. The arc was better. He looked certain. And it's the first time shooting a deep shot he's looked certain in a long time. And I think that makes you guard him differently. So now, hey, if he's confident again, if he has found that great mix of the three and now getting by you because you're up on your toes, he can play very well. And if he does, Sixers can win this series.
So look, you guys are the experts. It seems to me that Embiid's presence on the court alone changes the dynamic for Harden to some degree, right? There's something in the, down low that the Heat need to pay attention to all by itself. I mean, you guys were demonstrating for me in those first two games. There were like eight eyes on Harden everywhere he went all the time. They can't do that now. Is it as simple as that?
There's definitely some gravity that Joel has. But if you look at those shots that he's made, those are contested step back threes. It's the first time in a Philly uniform he's made four of them. Some of it is he just hasn't been efficient making those shots because he's taken those shots. It's not like he's getting wide open looks. That, yes, that's his patented shot. But again, we talked about it earlier with Tatum. Like, these guys that take difficult shots, there's going to be some variance night to night in their shooting.
To JJ's point, you know, they can win if either he or Maxey plays very well to great. They can't win if Harden struggles and Maxey's just okay. That's when they're going to find themselves in trouble. So that's a great benefit to have. If Tobias Harris is your fourth best offensive player, yep, you got a pretty good offense. But the key has been it's in Harden's lap. You know, how are you going to play tonight? And it, obviously, if he plays that well and gives them that answer as a primary ball handler to be that kind of a weapon, yeah, Philadelphia with Embiid can definitely win this series.
Just a quick funny, or not funny, but just a sort of an aside stick before I run onto something else here is, we were joking earlier in the show about Draymond Green making up disrespect for Steph Curry that clearly doesn't exist. Harden, there's been a lot of disrespect. And while he, right? I mean, he's
that's
been
not made up, right?
Exactly. He's been criticized. Yeah. He's been questioned. And I don't think any of us were wrong. It was fully legitimate. And he acts like he doesn't hear it and doesn't really care. But the emotion that he showed on the floor in game four suggested to me that he does. It looked to me like a fire has been lit under him. Why are you laughing at that notion?
Because I'm going to wait to hear what he has to say. No. It's just living in Philadelphia as long as I have, and he played there. I think it has something to do with it. I want to hear what JJ has to say first.
It's unavoidable, especially as Legs mentioned. It's unavoidable when you live in Philly. But I think some of the criticism was unwarranted because I heard the word washed. James Harden is not washed. He's a different player. Give me a guy that can go for 20 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds in the playoffs on 59% true shooting. I'll take that guy. That's a really good player.
Washed.
That's a really good player, Greeny.
But I mean, washed comes in a lot of variant, right? It could be dry cleaned, maybe. Like, maybe not fully washed, you know, but like a little bit of a, what's a quick wash? Like a
pat
spin cycle.
A little pat it down.
Yeah, he's not quite what he was, or at least he hasn't looked like.
I was laughing because, look, and he played for the Sixers. I did not, but I did play college there, and I've been in that area forever. And what that was literally like, you know, a pressure cooker. Mm. When he made those shots, the relief that he felt, because listen, nobody going into the postseason and throughout it has been under more scrutiny than James Harden. And he answered the call in an enormous moment. I mean, they got a chance to go on the road and get closed out if he continues to play the way he has. He answered it. They're now at a best of three. You know how good that must have felt in front of that crowd with everybody wondering what he was going to do? And not to mention the fact, he's also had moments in his postseason career that were head-scratching moments, right? Yeah. And this was one of those moments that he could have had one.
It's a great point because he struggled so much in the series prior to game four in the fourth quarter. So it was the timing of it. Like to have a potential game where you go down 3-1 and then to go for 16 or whatever it was in the fourth quarter and have those moments. I get it. The emotion is real, yeah.
Much more hoops as we continue with these guys. Also, back to the NFL we'll go. Is Lamar Jackson about to torch the entire league again? Are we sleeping on a potential major contender? We're talking about that in just a moment. Plus, the performance of the year in baseball followed by the celebration of the year. Oh, fellas, you got to see what he did for an encore here. After driving in eight, you will, coming up in just a moment. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back on Get Up, and before we run to anything else, one more look, JJ, the slam from Horford on Giannis.
Giannis had dunked and taunted against Al Horford early in the game. This felt personal. This was as emotional and as demonstrative as I've seen Al Horford a little, well, I don't know, shimmy, get off me at the end.
A little elbow at the end there, too. I wonder if the league is going to look at that. He does seem to throw a little elbow, which everyone is very sensitive to these days in the basketball world. I mean, I love it. If this was a movie, it would be game four. This time it's personal. We'll see what winds up happening. And much more from JJ and Legs as we continue. But right now, answer the question.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
It is that time once again where I will present a series of hard-hitting questions to my main man, Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he has to answer them. Here we go. First question. Which of these quarterbacks is more likely to succeed in 2022? Big time. Tua or Hurts?
I think it's got to be Tua. Like, both of the quarterbacks, I think, have shown a lot of talent, but Tua has more talent, I believe, as a passer when he's at his best. But then we're looking at the reason why right there. It's Tyreek Hill. You add Tyreek Hill to any offense, it gets better. They've addressed their offensive line issues. McDaniel's a great coach who understands how to make it easy on his quarterback. And we haven't even gotten to Gesicki, who might be top five, top three tight ends in the league. This team is incredibly talented, and they have one of the best defenses in the league to support Tua. So I think Tua is going to have a better season than Jalen Hurts.
I have a variety of questions on that, mostly about what happens if he does not. We'll come to it. Meanwhile, let's talk about second-year quarterbacks. We had all those QBs go in the first round last year. Which of the sophomores is going to have the best season?
Yeah, this is a tougher question. I think I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. I believe the drama there is going to be a little bit cleared. They moved on from their coaching situation issues with Urban Meyer, and they've addressed the offense. They brought in weapons for Trevor Lawrence, and he wasn't all terrible last year. I think we got a bit distracted by all of the circus around him, and he had situations where he made great passes and sometimes had good games. I think part of it was rookie kind of learning curve, and part of it was the trouble that they had down there with their coaching situation. So giving Trevor some more weapons and some more time to develop, I think we're going to see a better season out of him.
Yes, and I think if by Trevor Lawrence you meant Zach Wilson, I completely agree. All right, one more. Give me, this is one team that does this every year. Give me the team that's going from worst to first in their division.
I mean, is it cheating to say the Ravens? Like, the Ravens are going to go from worst to first, I believe. Or they have the best chance to go from worst to first. But they weren't worst last year because they weren't good. They were worst last year because they got injured. And if they don't have as bad injury luck as they did last season, I understand they're going to be without Hollywood Brown this year. But they've added some great players in the draft to secure the inside of their offensive line with Lindenbaum, and also to add some more to that secondary that was already pretty loaded with Hamilton. So I think this team, they're always well coached and they're always well constructed. So I think they have the best shot to go from worst to first.
Well, that's it. Let me bring the rest of the crew in here on this question here, if I can. Do I still have Booger someplace? Let me get Booger McFarland here. Diana's here. Okay. Boog, because Cincinnati is the defending AFC champions, and Cleveland adds Deshaun Watson, and we got all excited when Pittsburgh got their quarterback on draft night. Boog, I feel like the Ravens are sort of the forgotten team in this mix. Should they be remembered?
Yeah, Green, I think you need to remember them because they were really beat up on the defensive side of the ball, especially in secondary. I think the reason they're kind of forgotten is because we're waiting for this offense to take the next step. There's really been a lot of question marks around the Lamar Jackson contract. So there seems to be a lot of questions in Baltimore rather than the answers. Whereas when you look at Cincinnati, they got all the answers. Like, they needed to come in to the draft and upgrade their secondary. They did that. They needed to upgrade the offensive line in the offseason. They went out and did that big time. So there are more questions in Baltimore than there are in who I think should be the division favorite, and that's the Cincinnati Bengals, Greeny.
And Diana, he brings up Lamar and the contract. Yeah. And that remains one of the most confusing stories in the NFL. What do we know right now?
Confusing, but also I would say perhaps one of the bigger stories in this offseason as we're getting ready for training camp, because you have to look at it from a player perspective. Injury is always a factor they have to consider here. And Lamar still hasn't signed a deal. They haven't agreed to one. And from what I can gather from having multiple conversations with people around the league, this is on Lamar Jackson's terms. It's his holdup. This isn't the Ravens. And, you know, he's also spoken to other people in interviews saying, I'm just focused on winning. I'm focused on just being a better football player. But there is a world where Lamar Jackson will play next year and perhaps hit free agency and maybe believes that he could land in a better place.
That's astonishing to me. Dominique, I mean, I've had people on this show say Kyler Murray shouldn't set foot on the field without a new contract. He's only played 3 years. You've got Lamar who's going into his fifth year, and he seems to be the holdup. You know this team better than most. How do you read this?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. The Ravens have made it quite clear that they want to keep Lamar Jackson, and I think it would be outrageous if Lamar Jackson decided that he wanted to push to go elsewhere. Not that he's implying that. I think they figure it out at some point, but it doesn't quite make sense. We don't know the exact terms of the offers that have been or the deals that have been offered to him. So I would guess if they offered him a deal that he was comfortable with, he would take it. So I don't think Lamar Jackson, assuming he's a rational, normal kind of person, you throw a bunch of money in front of his face, he's going to say thank you. So I'm not quite sure exactly what's going on in this situation, but it certainly doesn't make any sense.
All right. With that thought in mind, and actually my next thought has, well, go ahead, Booger, finish it up. Go.
Well, here's the thing, Greeny. We keep continuing to say that this contract is on Lamar Jackson. I mean, think about this. Where's the number going to come in at? Are the Baltimore Ravens willing to offer him $47 million a year? Like, I have a hard – I'm going with Dominique now. I have a hard time believing that Lamar Jackson, if offered $47 million a year, would be like, nah, I'm good. You know what? I'll wait until the offseason. So there's something amiss going on with this contract situation. Either Baltimore doesn't want to come up to the number where Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson are, or like we're really missing something here, because I have a hard time believing that a young man that runs and plays the style that Lamar Jackson does would turn down $47 million a year and $150 or $60 million guaranteed. We're missing something with this contract, and I can't wait to figure it out.
I feel exactly the same way.
I feel a lot of pressure right now, guys.
We're all confused.
I feel like you're like, go find out.
Yes.
And it's true. It isn't really. Booker, I'm not. I'm going to get on a ferry and head down to Baltimore now and get your answers.
I got 10 minutes. You give me the answer. Meanwhile, I want you to give me a reaction to this. All right. I mean, this was the funniest thing that happened this weekend. Saturday, Penguins, Rangers. Okay?
Okay.
You got the Penguins. They're celebrating a goal. Everyone's excited. But Diana, you want to talk about what happens here?
The Penguins scored and he did not. That's basically what just happened. Look, beer breath is a bad thing to have. And that's what it looks like right there. But look, credit for him trying. You got to give him a little bit of credit there.
But that's...
Look, shoot or shoot, man. Greeny, shoot or shoot.
I guess. Sometimes they miss. Stanley Cup playoffs first round continue tonight. Four game fives, all of them tied at two games apiece. Bruins Hurricanes at 7 on ESPN. Lightning Leafs 7:30 on ESPN2. Wild and Blues on ESPN. Kings and Oilers on ESPN2. All the actions available on the ESPN app. Coming up, Giannis. Should the Greek be freaked that his mean mug led to Milwaukee's big miss? We'll explain right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.